Okay, so we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 6, text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vatasthe mandala girim ojasopacha purmanaha nadanta udadhir ninyo shakta paridraya vahava tataste mandara gebrihi ujasukpacha durmadaha Taste mandara gebrihim ojasopacha durmadaha andauradhim dinyo shabda parikka vahavaha taste mandara gebrihim so padjadur madhapan andura dim ninyo shakta parikya mahavaha demigods and demons. Mandara Girim, Mandara Mountain. Ojasa, with great strength. Upacha, extracting. Durmanaha, very powerful and competent. Nadanda, cried very loudly. Unadim, toward the ocean. Ninyo, brought. Shakta, very strong. Parigabhava, having long, strong arms. Translation, thereafter with great strength, the demons and demigods who were all very powerful and who had long, stout arms, uprooted Mandara Mountain. Crying very loudly, they brought it toward the ocean of milk. So there's no purport to this text nor the next few texts, so we'll just keep reading until we get to a verse with a purport. So text 34. Yuravaro Vahashanta Shakravat Arai Rochanadayaha Aparayantas Tambodum Avivrasha Vijavukti. Because of conveying the great mountain for a long distance, King Indra, Maharaj Bali, and the other demigods and demons became fatigued, as tired. Being unable to carry the mountain, they left it on the way. Text 35. Nipatansa girishtatra bahunamaradannavan achurnayama samatta marena kanaka chanachalaha. The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demigods and demons. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's a very short purport, so we'll continue reading after this. By constitution, gold is heavier than stone. Since Mandara Mountain was made of gold and was therefore heavier than stone, the demigods and demons could not properly carry it to the ocean of milk. So text 36. Hamstata bhagna manatsu bhagna bahur kandana vidraya bhagam hamstatra bhagbhuma gurunadvajaha. The demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened, and their arms, thighs, and shoulders were broken. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda. So, text 37. Giri patta vanisvichtam avilokyamaradannavan ikshayajivayamasa nirjadan nirvrandanyata. Observing that most of the demons and demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became free from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies. Pretty good. And then text 38, which has a nice purport. Girim charupya garude haste naikena lilaya arudya praya vaddim surasura nanarvita. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport, here is proof of the omnipotence, that means all-powerful nature, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. There are two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above them both. The demons believe in the chance theory of creation, whereas the demigods believe in creation by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The omnipotence of the Supreme Lord is proved here, for simply with one hand, he lifted Mandara Mountain, the demigods and the demons, placed them on the back of Garuda, and brought them to the ocean of milk. Now the demigods, the devotees, would immediately accept this incident, knowing that the Lord can lift anything, however heavy it might be. But although demons were also carried along with the demigods, demons, upon hearing of this incident, would say, that it is mythological. That means just a made-up story. But if God is all-powerful, why would it be difficult for him to lift a mountain, since he is floating innumerable planets with many hundreds and thousands of mandara mountains? Why can't he lift one of them with his hand? This is not mythology. For the difference between the believers and the faithless is that the devotees accept the incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures to be true, whereas the demons simply argue and label all these historical incidents mythology. Demons would prefer to explain that everything happening is in the cosmic manifestation takes place by chance. But demigods or devotees never consider anything to be chance. Rather, they know that everything is an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the difference between the demigods and the demons. So, Om Gana Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So actually, this is a very important purport by the Supreme Personality of God, by Srila Prabhupada. And this really delineates or shows the difference between demons and devotees. And sometimes you have demons that are actually in Brahmin families and devotees who are in Shudra families. And I'll tell a story that illustrates this. So we shouldn't really just pay respect to someone just because there's a Brahmin. We have to see if they actually believe that God is a person. So here's the story. You may have heard this story before. Once upon a time, Narada Muni came. And Narada Muni, he went to visit a Brahmin. Brahmin, of course, is very much respected. So this Brahmin's name was Mr. Sharma. He was from Fiji. So anyway, I made that up. So I just add a little bit to Prabhupada's story. So, and the Brahmin said, "Oh, Narada Muni, can you go and ask the Lord, when am I going to get out of this material world and go back to Godhead?" And Narada Muni said, "Okay, no problem." And then Narada Muni went to visit a cobbler. A cobbler means a muchi. A muchi is someone who takes dead skin and makes shoes out of it. That's muchi. You heard about that before? So they don't kill the cow. In the Vedic system, they waited until the cow died naturally, and they take the skin from the cow, and they make shoes. Prabhupada, incidentally, said devotees should not wear leather, because leather nowadays is a product of violence, because they kill the cow prematurely. In other words, while the cow is still alive, they kill the cow, take the skin off of the cow, and sometimes they even take the skin off of the cow while the cow is still alive. In India, they do that. I've seen that. India is the largest exporter of leather in the world. So anyway, so this cobbler, he was a nice cobbler. And so Narada Muni visited him, and the cobbler also asked the same question. And Narada Muni said yes. So then Narada Muni goes to see the Lord in the spiritual world, because Narada Muni can travel anywhere he wants. Narada Muni, Vajalpina, Radhika, Ramana, Amane. So he goes to see Lord Narayan, and he says, "Lord Narayan, both of these people have questions. When are they going back to Godhead?" And Lord Narayan says, "Okay, I'll tell you, but I'm going to tell you some, let's say, test that you have to give both of them. And that test is you're going to tell them that I am here in the spiritual world putting an elephant through the eye of a needle, back and forth." Now that's impossible. Elephant is very big. Needle is very small. So, therefore, Narada Muni goes back to the material world. And going back to the material world, going back to the material world, he basically first visits the Brahmin, and he tells the Brahmin, Lord Narayan is putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmin says, that's nonsense. You know, just get out of here, Narayan. When you don't know what you're talking about, you know, it's impossible. Elephant's big, needle's small. And he said, what did Lord Narayan say about me going back to God? And Narayan said, you know, there'll be many, many births. And Brahma said, get out of here, Narada Muni. You're just an imitation. So Narada Muni then goes to the cobbler, shoemaker. And the shoemaker is asked the same question by Narada Muni. The statement, of course, Narada Muni says, Lord Narayan, because the cobbler says, what is Krishna doing? What is Narayan doing in the spiritual world? And Narada Muni says he's putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler says, oh, that's wonderful. It's great. That's a big thing. Okay. I can understand. Narada Muni says, how can you understand that? That's ridiculous. And then the cobbler says, well, see that tree over there? You know, inside that tree is many millions of seeds, and each and every one of those seeds has another tree inside it. So if he can do that, then why can't he put an elephant through the eye of the needle? And then Narada Muni said, yeah, you're going back to Godhead right away. So that's faith. Another thing is, you know, Prabhupada sometimes had to talk to people about how Krishna had 16,108 wives. That's a lot of wives. So people say, 16,108 wives? Come on. That's ridiculous. And how's that possible? The Prabhupada said, Krishna only had 16,108 wives. In other words, that's nothing for Krishna. In fact, everyone is prakriti in relationship to Krishna's Purusha. We actually belong to Krishna. All of us are like Krishna's wives. I mean, I'm not a wife, Krishna, but in the same, what's called ontologically, philosophical basis, we're all like that. We're all subservient to Krishna. So Prabhupada said Krishna's God. So in the Gita we have this statement, Shradana Purusha Dharma Shasha Kulaptapa Prapyamam Nibartante Mitru Samsara Vartmane, which is a very interesting verse. It says, Ashradana Purusha, those persons who don't have faith, like Shraddha means faith, Ashradana means no faith, Dharmasha in Krishna consciousness, Purantapa, of course, the name of Arjuna means mighty armed one, Prapyamam, they cannot achieve Krishna, Nivartande, never. But they return to birth and death within this material world. So that's the statement about faith. So, and of course, and even in the Bible it says faith can move mountains if you have the faith. So faith is extremely important. And if we look even at the material nature, we can get faith in God. Just like Prabhupada says here in the purport, that demons, they think everything is happening automatically, by chance. And that's, let's take one topic that Prabhupada really would like to talk about a lot. It was the topic of evolution. Everyone's heard of evolution? I'm sure when you went to school, you learned that we evolved from, you know, monkeys or gorillas or something like that. It's very interesting. Interesting topic. That they show this whole picture, isn't it, in school? That they were fish, and then the fish had some legs. The fish walked out, then the fish became an alligator. And then the alligator, I don't know exactly, the alligators developed wings, and they were flying alligators. And then from the flying alligators, I don't know what came after that. Then you had the mammals. And then, anyway, than cockroaches, and, you know. So this is what they teach in school. It's called evolution, and it was started by someone named His Divine Grace Darwin. Right? You heard of him? Because Darwin, he basically went to this place called the Galapagos Islands. A little information, scientific information for you. Which is off of South America, Ecuador. And he saw creatures there that we'd never seen before, because the Galapagos Islands are actually isolated from the rest of the world. And then there was one particular creature that really influenced him. It was a bird. I forget the name of the bird. A finch. And a finch. And he saw that the finches, over time, the finches' beaks, they were changing. It's just like, you know, I look at everybody here, people have different noses too, so it's like Hare Krishna. Some people have big noses, some people have small noses. And if you move to India where it's very polluted, your nose gets, you know, by evolution, the nose gets small. So it's true, you have to, like after about 20 generations of no nose on people. Because there's so much pollution in the air. So people will develop, evolution-wise, they'll develop gas masks on their face. So anyway, getting back to the point. So what he saw were varieties within one species. Remember what I'm talking about. In other words, because environmental situations change, you're talking about the rain and the bugs and everything like that. You can read about it. If you want to read this stupid book, Origin of the Species, you can pick it up at the library. So because the changes according to the environment, they call this survival of the fittest. And, you know, mutations, survival of the fittest. And they gave some other examples too, like some white moths and black moths in England. That when England became polluted, the black moths became, they developed more. There were more black moths because the black moths were able to hide within the polluted air. And the white moths weren't. Anyway, but all he showed was variety within a certain species. Not the changing, actually. Not the changing. Because both the white moth and the black moth and the finches with the different beaks, they existed, but the environment, try to follow what I'm saying, the environment favored one type over the other. They were both there in the beginning. You understand? But the environment changes things. I mean, just like in India, here's another story about India. There's more, a lot more men than women in India. Why is that? It's not because of evolution or because of, you know, some mystical thing that happens. It's because people kill girl children there. Yeah, so I'm talking about the environment changes things. Anyway, so this is going to get a little complicated, so just try to bear with me. So this, he came up with this whole origin of the species, and that was accepted. And then even in the court system, they fought for, the religious people fought for the right to teach that God created the species. And they lost the battles in the courts in England and also in the United States. So but he's never shown that one species can change into another species. There's no evidence of that. There's no missing links between the different species. And even there's this like amazing things that happened in the past. There's something called the Cambrian explosion. I'm not gonna get into that. Where all the species, all the different varieties of species, not all of them, but many of them just appeared, boom, all of a sudden. So looking at all these things and becoming even more scientific, one's faith becomes further enhanced. Because in the modern day and age, people are aware of what, or the scientists are aware of what's happening inside the cell. You know, in our body, there's so many different cells. So they go into the cell, they use their microscopes, scanning electron microscopes, look inside the cell. And what do they see inside each cell is the complexity that is so amazing. There's more complexity in each cell than there are in all the cities in the world combined. You know, the world is very complex. Even your computer, your phone is extremely complex. You can't understand it. There's more complexity. So all this complexity, according to the scientists, the atheistic scientists, the demons, because you can't talk about that at the university. But according to them, it all came about by chance. It's amazing. And then inside the cell, I mean, there's so many amazing things inside the cell. Some of you heard my talks about this before. There's actually living entities inside the cell. One's called the kinesin, who has legs, and he transports things from one part of the cell to the other. And it's actually, they actually have seen them. You know, he carries things on his back, and he carries things from one part of the cell to the other. And then there's even something more amazing. There's what we call the DNA. DNA, they say, is the blueprint of life. So DNA, the code of the DNA, describes the proteins that make up life. Life is made of proteins. That's why you need to eat your proteins to be happy. So anyway. So life is made of proteins, so you have this elaborate computer code, literally a computer code, inside the cell, every cell. And when the scientists look at that, they say it is just like, this is a description of the scientists, it's just like computer code, which uses, I'm trying to explain this very simply, something called nested coding. In other words, it's describing the different proteins, but inside the description of one protein is another protein, inside the description of that protein is another protein, and it's very deep. So it's something that, if you examine mathematically, could never have come about by chance. It's impossible. I mean, when you talk about impossible, if any of you study mathematics, it means 10 to the minus, like 200, over the span of the whole universe. That means impossible. You know, scientists never use the word impossible. They just say improbable to a certain extent, using mathematics to describe it. So, it's impossible. I mean, it's just like sometimes the example is given. It's like going to a junkyard. Do you have junkyards here where they throw old cars? Then going to a junkyard, and all of a sudden, you have an explosion in the junkyard. You know, you put a bomb in the junkyard, or a lightning bolt hits the junkyard, and then a 747 airplane comes out of it. I mean, can you imagine such stupidity? The demons are so stupid. They say, yes, it all came back. This complex thing came about by chance, and they're just so determined to decry the existence of God in this way. And then another point, just, you know, another point about genetics. What the scientists have actually discovered, those intelligent scientists who are God conscious, have discovered that not only are we not evolving, we are devolving. In other words, with each successive generation, your children have more defects in their genes than you have. That's pretty bad. So, better limit yourself to 3 or 4 generations. You know what I mean? In other words, we're losing information. Just like, I mean, it's normal that things fall apart as time goes. So that it's not that this elaborate, I mean, take a computer program, for example, and you You scramble some of it. It's not that you're going to get a better computer program. Or you take this book and you take out some of the words or change the words for other words. Are you going to get something that's more intelligible? It's easier to understand by doing that? No. It's stupid to say that. I mean, the scientists like saying that this book came about by chance, and somehow or other they threw up some black stuff and paper, wherever they got the paper from, and all of a sudden you had the book. I mean, anything complex must have been arranged somehow or other. No matter how much time you have. I mean, like the scientists sometimes say, well, if you have enough monkeys typing away at computers, you're going to get Shakespeare's works. All right, try it. You don't get Shakespeare's works. I mean, maybe you would, but Shakespeare's works are not that complex. You know, you compare the works of Shakespeare to the cell, what's happening in one cell, you can't compare it. It's just like infinitely more complex, almost infinitely more complex. So people who look at that, you look at the complexity and everything like that, the honest people, they say, well, there must be God, right? And people who are stupid and demoniac and determined, can't preach like this in the university. But people who are stupid, demoniac, and determined, they just say, no, it happened by chance. Brainless. Brainless idiots, you know, as far as I'm concerned. You gotta just look at something. Even this tissue box didn't come about by chance. what here came about by chance? Do you see anything in the room? So what does that mean as far as we're concerned? As Prabhupada said, God is omniscient, is omnipotent. That means whatever happens in this world is under the direction of God, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that also means whatever happens to us is Krishna's plan. Bad or good, is Krishna's plan. And if we see it like that, we're theists. And if we don't see it like that, we're atheists. Just like Dharma the Bull, he was being beaten by the personality of Kali. And Parikshit Maharaj came and said, who has done this to you? And Dharma the Bull understood it was Krishna's plan. It was Kali Yuga coming. It was Krishna's plan. Of course, that doesn't mean we just sit back and say, everything's Krishna's plan. Let me do nothing. My being a bum is Krishna's plan. It's Krishna's plan. I'll just go eat prasada and not do anything. No, that's your plan, you rascal. You understand? You have some independence. So you have your plan, yes. And Krishna has his plan. And if you don't follow Krishna's plan, you get whacked. You understand? But if you follow Krishna's plan, you may also get whacked too. Krishna says, yes, yam, anugrinam. But that whacking is a love tap. Krishna is just bringing you to his lotus feet. Krishna says, for those who I especially favor, I take away. Sometimes I take away things, so all they can do is chant Hare Krishna. So, but we see Krishna, and in the Gita, Krishna says, Yomam pachati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pachati tashahamana pranashati tachamena pranashati. One should see me everywhere and see as everything in me, and one who sees like that is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. That's Krishna consciousness, to see Krishna behind everything. Just like you have, you know, the compassionate virus that's going around the world. It's Krishna's plan. It's not that, you know, just happened by chance. I mean, in one sense, you could have it happened because some rascals were eating bats or something like that. He said, you know, they shouldn't eat snakes and bats. China, they eat any damn thing. Prabhupada said that. He said, Prabhupada said, what is there that a Chinese person wouldn't eat? Sorry if I'm offending anybody. But a devotee can be, Chinese people, devotees, then they don't eat anything every day. They just eat prasad. But this is horrible, hard. Even in Korea, they eat liquid dog. Prabhupada talked about that. They put all the dead animals and they drink the juice from the dead animals. They think this is nectar. And if they see prasad, that's demon. So you have this merciful virus, and it's Krishna's arrangement. What does we have to learn from the virus? What do we have to do? It teaches us padam padam yadvi padam mitesha. There's danger at every step. So people get very nervous. Oh, the virus is coming. And what do they do? In Australia and America, they immediately run to the store and buy a lot of toilet paper. It's true. if the virus comes, what are you going to do? Hold off the toilet paper? I just can't understand. People react because they're so afraid. Well, I got news for everyone's going to die. And, the virus gets you, or dacoids get you, or whatever. You can't be afraid. There's so much danger at every step in this world. I was just reading the other day that 900,000 people die every year because they're smelling the smoke that comes from the clothes of someone who is smoking. If you go into a place, not even smoking, but someone else has gone there and he's not smoking, but his clothes have all these chemicals in it, you stand a good chance of dying. You get in a car, you stand a good chance of dying. If you go to Australia, which many of you want to go to, there's so many snakes, you stand a good chance of dying. I was at our temple in Australia, and there was this giant snake, this fat, big enough to eat you. Is a boa constrictor. So basically, Krishna's behind everything. We have to become free from fear, understanding what Krishna's always protecting us, Krishna's always maintaining us. And just do our duty, not be fearful like that. So that's theistic. And if we don't see Krishna behind everything, if we go to the witch doctors in Fiji, then we just don't have faith in Krishna or faith in his holy names. It's very important to have this firm faith. It's stated that firm faith means we do what Krishna wants and everything is accomplished. If we do what Krishna wants, Krishna will take care of it. Okay, on that happy note, we have to end class because it's time to greet the deities. So, I guess, right? All glories to Divine Glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.